Amen. Enjoyed that very much. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. I think Brother Graham's going to sing us a special next. I'm looking forward to that. Growing up, our family sang, and again, most of you know this, but some of you don't. Our family sang, and of course, I have an older brother, and of course, had a younger sister, and my mom has a beautiful voice, and we sang since the time I can't remember when we didn't sing, and always enjoyed singing with the family. But they always made fun of our family because my dad never sang with us, and there was a reason. I don't know, Brother Graham, I understand you've got a pretty good voice. I just no conviction there or anything, or put you on the spot. But anyway, it's a blessing, isn't it, to hear these families sing? I appreciate the ladies being down from the north, even though they are from the north. What a blessing to have you guys here. And enjoy the music. Tonight will be a very simple message, as most of my sermons are. Just thinking about this morning of being in perilous times and the society we live in. And man, I could have taken this morning and taken all of those words and just really painted and continued to paint a gloomy picture. I mean, just very easily could have had everybody walk underneath the door as you walk out. And I do want to just spend a little time on, we think about revival and revival coming up and being in prayer for Brother House and for revival. But in this day and age which we live, in the society we live in, there's a relentless assault by Satan on our lives. By that I mean on our spiritual lives. Never before has the adversary had such powerful tools and technology to take sin and make it look so good. Amen? I mean, you think about it tonight. Some of you went home. I did. I watched the Yankees and somebody else play. Just play it. And I still tell you, I enjoy watching sports. But every once in a while, then this commercial comes on. And more than likely, more often than not, it's a beer commercial. And more often than not, unless it's one of those funny horses, it's something to either entertain you or humor you, or it's something that is sensual in nature. And I tell you what, ladies, if you knew how us men think, and some of you have been married a while, you know how men think. If you could just understand the awful temptations of things that go on, it's unbelievable. And we need to be reminded from time to time how to abound over that temptation. Now, you know the three things, and we'll talk about those at the very end. I want the three things to be just grounded our membership over and over and over again. Some of y'all know those, right? How do we fight, flight? Remember those, the three S? We'll cover those in a moment again. But again, just how to handle temptation. Look at Matthew chapter 4. If we're going to find out how to handle temptation, let's go to the one who can give us the best teaching on it. Amen? Jesus Christ Himself. It says there in verse 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And of course, we understand this word means tested, tempted of Satan. And it says that when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungered. He was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. In verse 7, Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. If you go and read the other gospel that gives the same account, we find that it says the devil left him for a, remember the little word it uses over there? For a season. The devil never leaves us forever. He's always got one of his little imps trailing us. and just sniffing us out. Again, the devil does not know everything. He is not omniscient. He's not all-knowing. But he's very wise, and because he does have his imps following us, he knows about our lives. He knows what we do. And he uses things in our life to tempt us and test us. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, bless this time. Bless the reading of your word. I pray tonight this would be an encouragement. And God would challenge us again, once again, to relook at this important subject, and that we would, through the help of the Holy Spirit, live a life that's pleasing to you. That, Lord, that you give us victory over temptation. In Jesus' name, amen. I've used this illustration 1,000 times, but my dad said, it's okay, son, as long as you don't drive around the block the second time. It's not wrong to be tempted. It's wrong to give in to temptation. Amen? It's not wrong to be tempted. It's wrong to give in to temptation. Help me clarify that example. Some of you looked at me like, what in the world are you talking about? Let me preface it again. We lived out in the country. But on our little rock road, there was a lady who liked to tan out in front of her house. Don't know why. Yeah, I do. She was, anyway. But a beautiful woman. Beautiful woman. And, you know, I'm like 12. What am I going to do? I'm going to look at the woman in the bathing suit. And my dad said, son, it's not wrong to look once. It's when you circle around the block that it becomes a problem. And that's true. It's not wrong to be tempted. But when you give in to the temptation, that's when, of course, it becomes sin. It breeds sin. All right? And we think about all sorts of things today in our society. We think about car companies who sell power as an image for their cars. And thank God for Chevy, still in existence. We think about Las Vegas. Las Vegas, and everyone there is happy. You know, the slogans that they use, that, you know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. I mean, just, we see this over and over again. Isn't it funny that the people they show on TV are always healthy and happy? You know, always healthy and happy. Think about the soft drink commercials, the car commercials with partially dressed women. And I can go on and on and on, and so could you, about the various things that we are challenged by and the various things we're exposed to. You've heard me use this example again before, but we'll use it again. Think about even as you're driving down the road, and I know this maybe more affects men than it does women, but as you drive around and you see a billboard that has something on it that's not very, you know, biblical in nature. And you look, and man, just you're constantly bombarded by all these things. And you go to work, and you're constantly bombarded there. You know, whether it's a woman or a man, you're constantly bombarded. You're rubbing elbows with people who are cussing, and rubbing elbows with people who are telling dirty jokes, rubbing elbows with people. I mean, just again, people who are just selfish to a T, and just surrounded by all those things. And what happens to you? You just begin to get dirty. That's all. The Bible talks about just as you just get dirtier and dirtier. And the Bible describes itself as water. And what you're supposed to do is take the Bible and wash the dirt off every day. Amen? That's what's supposed to happen. You get up in the morning, you have a short devotional time, you're washing. The washing of regeneration by the Word of God. Let you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's the Word of God that does those things. And you're constantly washing yourself. In the evenings, you read a little bit, washing yourself. Wash that stuff off. And because the mental images and the things we're constantly bombarded with, the temptations we're bombarded with, must have a way to erase those things and get those things gone. James chapter 1, verse 14 says, "But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth..." Y'all remember this one? Death. Let me remind you again, teenagers, especially, God did not place rules down so you couldn't have any fun. God gave rules for your good. God gave rules for my good, to keep me out of trouble. Sin brings forth death. Sin doesn't bring forth happiness. Oh, it might for a season, but what goes around comes around. It'll come back around to you. Sin. By the way, in this James chapter 1, it talks about that every man is tempted of his when he is drawn away of his what? His own lust. Don't just sit around, men and women, don't just sit around saying, "Oh, the devil made me do it." That's not true. Most often than not, it's us. You've seen that little, we used to have it there in Bible college, a little picture of a guy who says, we have found the enemy, and it's us. It's me. I'm the enemy. My flesh is weak, and therefore it's driven away. It's driven away of its own lusts. Temptation commences, continues, and consumes unless we have a plan to deal with it. How am I to deal with the constant bombardment of the things that tempt or entice us? As I'm looking and at these visuals, as I'm bombarded with the words that others speak around me at work, as I'm bombarded even by my own family members and things I'm having to deal with, how do I deal with the temptation? Think about the temptation of anger and all the other things we're bombarded with. How do I deal with these things? Number one, we must understand God's purpose in temptation. The Bible says here in chapter 4, verse 1, that the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. God's temptation proved, number one, Christ's temptation proved His deity. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin." You understand tonight that though Christ was tempted, Christ could not have sinned. Christ was God. Amen. Therefore, Christ could not have sinned. Well, you say, well, then why did Satan tempt Him? Satan is not all-knowing, folks. Satan, you know, here was a man in front of him. Jesus Christ the Messiah. Satan's not all-knowing. He's going to tempt the Savior. And He tempted Him. But understand tonight, understand this. Theologically, biblically, doctrinally, Christ could not have sinned. Why? Because He is God. And God cannot sin. Then why was He tempted? Number one, because Satan didn't know everything. But number two, He was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. Amen. He went through the things we went through. Now, I'm not talking about sensual sins and things like this, but He was tempted. He was tested. He got hungry. Amen. I get hungry a lot. I really do. I tell you what, I don't know what it is about my appetite, but it's unbelievable. I hardly ever get full. Rarely ever do I get full. I have to just push myself away from the table. And I try to do that as much as I can. But Jesus was without food for 40 days. Can you imagine that? 40 days. He was tested in all points like we are, yet without sin. Our testing is meant to strengthen us. What Jesus Christ was in the will of God. Everybody with me? He was led by the Spirit. Just because you're going through some trial or some tribulation in your life does not mean you're out of the will of God. You may be right smack dab in the middle of it. And God is using that temptation or that testing to strengthen you. Amen. Every trial, every testing, every tribulation I've ever been through was there to strengthen me. Romans chapter 7. "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, I do not. But what I hate, that I do." Paul had a problem with sin. If Paul had a problem with sin, then we got a problem with sin. Paul wrote over half the New Testament, and he had a problem with sin. In fact, John chapter 1, verse 8 and 9 there says, "If you say you have no sin, you're a liar, and the truth is not in you." You say, "Well, brother, I believe in the second blessing. I believe a person gets saved and he can live without sin." That's a bogus. It's not found in the Word of God. And the Bible says in 1 John 1, 9, "If you say you have no sin," it's talking to Christians now, not lost people. 1 John chapter 1 is talking to Christians. He says, "If you had no sin, if you say you had no sin, you're a liar." We all deal with temptation. And Paul dealt with it. The old man, the new man, back and forth. And I tell you what, he said, "The things I want to do, those are the things I don't do. The things I know I shouldn't do, those are the things I do." And then he said there in verse 19, he says, for the good that I would not, that do I, but the evil that I would not, that I do." Verse 24 of that same chapter, he says, "Oh, wretched man that I am." If you're under temptation tonight, and you're under some things in your own life, and trials and testing, that should be the first thing you come to God and do. "God, I am nothing. Lord, I don't know what you're trying to teach me through this, but I am nothing. I'm a wretched man. Lord," and that's where Paul went. He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" I thank God through Jesus Christ the Lord. Temptation is an opportunity to have victory through Christ. Temptation is a way to have victory. Have you had victory in your life over temptation and over sin? Jesus Christ was led of the Spirit in the wilderness. Satan planned to tempt Christ. Satan came at a time in which Christ was weak and he was hungered. Again, the lust of the flesh, Satan will wait until you're away from home or away from church, and he will tempt you. It's just like the man who tries to quit, or the lady who tries to quit drinking. And throws the alcohol out of the home, tries to do things right, attends church, does all these things. And the first thing you know it, after work, one of his fellow companions says, "Hey, brother, I got some beer out in the truck. Let's go out and have a few drinks." And just that quick, he's tempted again. Amen? Yes, Satan's going to come to you at a weak hour. He's not going to come to you when your wife is next to you saying, "Don't do that. Don't do that." Your wife never does that for you? I thank the Lord for my wife. Amen. But no, he's going to come to you at a weak point. And your weakest point is going to come to you. My sermon's not about this tonight necessarily, but you understand that every Christian, the Bible talks about the besetting sin, that each of us have a weakness. That's why John says, if you have no sin, you're a liar. And you could be sitting in the pew tonight, and I could be up here preaching, and we could say, everything's okay with me. But each of us have a weakness. And Satan's going to pinpoint the weakness and work on that weakness, whatever it may be. Amen. If he can ever pinpoint the weakness and get you down on that weakness will destroy the rest of you. Make sense? I'll use the illustration. The man who has trouble with alcohol and is a drunk, and he gets victory over that for a season. But Satan knows that's his weak point and he begins to work on him. Don't think he's going to give up. You come to church service, you get right with God, woo, go out the back doors. Here it comes, man. It's going to be relentless and ruthless. And let's say he falls and he does become an alcoholic. What else does that affect? That affects everything else in his life. Any sin in your life is going to affect everything else. Whatever besetting sin you have, the Bible talks about lay aside every weight and the sin that's so easy to beset you. Whatever sin in your life that is your area for a man or a woman, that particular sin will be your downfall in all other areas eventually. Because it'll affect your character. Amen. So what we're saying is tonight, he's going to come to you in weak points. He's going to come to you at your weakest point. He's going to come to you when you've lost that loved one or when you lose that job or he's going to come to you when you're discouraged. He's not going to come to you when you're sitting in church service singing glory hallelujah and you're at the pinnacle of your spiritual platitudes, you know. Now he's going to come to you when things aren't going right. He's going to come to you when you're upset with your pastor or upset at the church. He's going to come to you and he is going to test and tempt you. He came to Christ at a weak time. And Satan began to question truth. If thou be the Son of God. He was the Son of God. Boy, I tell you what. He always comes to us and affects us in those same ways he affected Adam and Eve. The pride of life. The lust of the eye. The lust of the flesh. And the pride of life. Oh, Eve said, yea, hath God said. Or he said to Eve, yea, hath God said. Always questioning truth. Satan's always questioning truth. He'll get you to question things like, well, you know that's not really right. One drink won't hurt. Right? You know, it won't hurt. I know you've given up borrowing on credit and doing those things, but you can buy that one TV. It'll be all right. You can get that paid for. Right? Just one time. Just one more time. Honey, we're gonna buy one more set of furniture. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to do this one other time, and we'll be fine. It's just bombarding that temptation. Yea, hath God said. He'll get you to question truth. He'll get you to question yourself. And then Satan constantly fights. He does not give up. You think about Samson and Delilah. That is a great illustration of how Satan deals in our life. Delilah asked, did she ask just one time? As Samson was laying in her lap and she was rubbing his soft hair, his long hair, rubbing it, singing to him lullaby. Go to sleep. I mean, just really laying it on, kissing him. Just really, she had all the foo-foo. I mean, she smelled good. He went, he's just sitting there. Samson, where do you get your strength from? I mean, just ask him once. Of course, he lies to her. But does she give up? No, she asks again. Samson, where do you get your strength from? Well, he lies to her again. Samson, where do you get your strength? I mean, just keeps at him. And there could be some other interjections here that I would talk, but I'm not going to say anything else on that issue. Things I was thinking about I shouldn't say. Samson, where do you get your strength from? From my hair. Zip. Barbers came in and zipped it off. Strength gone. That's why Satan gets you and me. Bam. 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 Just relentless. Just keeps at us. Keeps at us. Keeps at us. In our weakest points, keeps at us. He's not going to give up. Folks, he hates us. He hates the Christian. He wants to see you fail. I used to say it all the time. He wants to get on top of you and just stomp you into the ground. He doesn't want to see you succeed. Satan constantly fights. Three times he comes to Christ. Three times he tempts him. Satan promises, but listen, Satan can never deliver. Verse 9, he says, and he saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And Satan, he'll tempt you in some way, and he'll offer you some great things. But listen to me, Satan never delivers. He's a liar. He's a liar. The cigarette commercials, when they used to have them, look so good. You know, the man in the cowboy hat and smoking his, man, looked all nice. The pretty creek and riding that horse. But Satan's a liar. Satan's a liar. Doesn't show the man in the hospital with cancer, does he? That's what the commercial should be, you know? Show the smoking and then the lungs. Show the drinking, then the liver, right? Show the smoking, show the drinking, show the broken homes. Again, Satan can promise all sorts of beautiful things, and I'm telling you, if the ladies in those commercials, those liquor commercials, drank the liquor that they're promoting, they wouldn't look like that. Satan's a liar. If you think cigarettes are bad, I know that our government's got it out for cigarettes. Liquor does 10 times the damage cigarettes have ever done. But yet we see no out to get them. Our politicians got the liquor crowd in their back pocket. Vice versa, the liquor crowd's got the politicians in the pocket. We need to become J. Frank Norris again and go after Billy Sunday, go after that liquor crowd. More homes, more lives are destroyed from alcohol and liquor than ever be destroyed with cigarettes. Satan promises so many great things, but he never delivers. Satan promises no hurt will come, and yet never delivers. Satan says if it feels good, do it. But yet hurt comes. God's purpose in temptation is to strengthen us. Satan's plan for temptation is to drag us down. But Christ overcame temptation. We see this again in verse 4. He says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Verse 7, he says, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And verse 10, he says, get thee hence, or get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Let me just again remind you tonight, as you know these things, but there's power in the Word of God. I have no power of my own, and you have no power on your own. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, it says, "As he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." Let me say again tonight, life comes from the Word of God. This is the bread of life, the true manna from heaven, the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. If we are to handle temptation, it's the Word of God that is our sword. It's the Word of God that is our weapon. The key to victory over Satan's temptation is God's Word. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, "Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." I told you when I was a kid that my dad made us memorize the whole chapter of Romans chapter 6. That if thou shalt confess that thou... let's see if I can do it. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace should abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that as many of us were baptized in Jesus Christ and go on. But those first two verses. Listen, we don't continue to sin that grace can abound towards our account. No, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer in? Listen, when I accepted Christ as my Savior, I received a new nature. I received a new nature. I received, again, pardon from the penalty of sin, but I also received power over sin. The Bible says we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us and gave Himself for us. We have power over sin. We do not have to live under the yoke, under the bondage of sin. We don't have to yield ourselves, as Romans chapter 6 says, we do not have to yield ourselves as instruments of unrighteousness. But we are to yield ourselves instruments of righteousness. We're to take the violin and use it for the Lord. We're to take our bodies and use them for the Lord. We are instruments for the Lord's use. We are to present our bodies a living sacrifice to Him. If we are to defeat temptation in our lives, we must use the Word of God. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit. Wish I had that Goliath sword tonight. You take the Word of God. When you're tempted, you quote Scriptures. Very simple. You say, "I don't know any Scriptures." Go home and memorize Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Good place to start. And when you're tempted, just quote the Scriptures. You don't have to do like the TV evangelists either, you know, and quote it out loud and slay the Spirit and all that kind of junk. I mean, just if you're at work and you're tempted to something, you quote it in your mind. And in your mind, you say, "Get thee behind me, Satan. I don't have to do what you say. And I don't have to give into this temptation." Amen? Satan continues his just bombardment of us as Christians. The devil and his crowd hate the Bible. They hate the Bible. Why do you think they've tried to change it so much? They're just diluting it. Dilute the power of the Bible. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." I've heard it several times. "A preacher, you just don't understand. Nobody's been tempted or tested or gone through a trial like I've gone through." No. I'm still amazed. The more I minister to people, the more I counsel with people, the more I see they all have the same problems. Hang on, let me rephrase that. We all have the same problems. Every couple has the same problems, especially newly married couples. They don't know how to speak woman, and I don't know how to speak, you know, she don't know how to speak man. That's the biggest one. We are definitely different. Amen? And there's a lack of communication. But once a man and wife can begin to understand the differences and that God made us to complete each other, amen, then they began to live more harmoniously. I don't know that it's ever perfect, right, Brother Bachelor? Right? You got it. Now I'm messing with people, huh? But it's never perfect. But the more I counsel with people, the more I see that we all basically have the same issues. We're all dealing with the same issues. Because all temptation is common to man. Anything you're going through now, Any temptation you're trying to overcome, somebody else in this room has gone through the same problem. I promise you. Not a doubt in my mind. And what does the rest of the verse say? You remember the verse, don't you? There in Corinthians. He says, there's no temptation taking you but such as common to man, but God is faithful. I'm glad He's faithful. He never leaves us. As I said this morning, He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He's always right there. Always right there. He's faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. Amen? He's not going to tempt you to the point where you cannot have victory. He's not going to take you to that point. But He will, with that temptation, also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. You may be able to bear it. I know the cliche is always there, and I've said this 1,000 times, but God always has His hand on the thermostat. The heat may be on in your life, but God is in control of the thermostat. He's the one turning up the heat or turning down the heat. Amen? He's in control. And whatever area in your life that temptation is coming to you, there's a purpose for it, and that purpose is to strengthen you. Every temptation is there to strengthen you. To strengthen you, to strengthen your faith. Every time you're tempted, you understand that Satan has a plan. He's going to come to you at your weak times. By the way, the Bible says when we're weak, He is strong. And when we are weak, we're to go to our knees, bow before Him, and pray, and again, quote Scripture, and God will give us victory. Christ's power over temptation, again, was the Word of God. You say, well, what about when I'm tempted to miss church? Hebrews 10:25, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. I mean, we can go down the line. Bible. What about my Bible reading? What about Bible study? The Bible says in 2 Timothy, all Scripture is inspired and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness. We just quote the Scriptures. What if I'm tempted not to witness? Well, God commands us to witness. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And when Satan says, when you're convicted about witnessing somebody and then something else says you don't do it, they'll make fun of you. Or don't do it. No, God's commanded me to do it. And quote the Scripture. When we think about our bodies, whether it's drugs or alcohol, and in some cases food, the Bible says our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we're to take care of our temple. And I feel this way all the time, that we all need to deal with this area. Whether it's drugs, alcohol, or our eating areas. Amen? Exercise. Eating broccoli and stuff. We need to deal with those things. The very first message I ever preached, I was 15. I've told some of this before. Some of y'all remember my first sermon? What was it? Gluttony. It's my first message. I know we laugh, but we deal with it. Amen? We do. We need to deal with those things. We need to be careful in these areas. When we're faced with a temptation of immorality, the Bible says, flee also youthful lusts. We do not need to give in to temptation. Why? Because the devil's a liar. Teenager, the devil's a liar. You see, alcohol is wrong, number one, because the Bible says it is. But number two, you should never take one drink. Because the one drink you may take may make you addicted to it. You say, well, my friend or this guy's not addicted to it. Well, you know, they're just not prone for that. But you may be. I have alcoholics all in our family. All it takes sometimes is one, whether it's drugs or alcohol. The devil's a liar. He'll say things like, oh, it won't hurt to do it one time. Right? You know, it won't hurt to kiss her, as y'all learned at camp this year. It won't hurt to kiss. Yes, man, kissing the girl just stirs the fire in the pot. The flames begin to burn. Don't touch her. Amen? Y'all learned that, right, at camp? When's the first time you're supposed to kiss a girl? Amen. When you get married. Come to my office, I'll show you from the Bible how that's true. Amen? You don't want to stir the flames. It's like taking the billows and just whoof. Man, the flames burn. Good job, guys. Appreciate y'all listening. Temptation is there. Against the world, I'm just telling you, we're to use faith. We're to use faith. Against ourselves, we're to use what? Flight. When we're tempted of our own selves, the lust of the flesh, we're to flee from youthful lust. Amen? But against Satan, against the world, we use faith. Faith overcometh the world. Amen? Some of y'all, these 3 points, I've used these 3 points for the last 20 years. I'll use them again for another 20 years. Three simple things. Against the world and its temptation, whether it's going to Las Vegas or whatever it's doing, against those things, you use faith. Faith overcometh the world. The power that Christ given me and my new nature, I use faith to overcome the world. Number two, against my own self, against my lusts, I use flight. Teenager, if you're someplace where they're serving alcohol, you leave. Flee also youthful lusts. If you're around a crowd that's doing wrong, you leave the crowd. You say, well, I'll hang around this crowd. I'll bring them up. No, they'll bring you down. You can't hang around a bunch of skunks and come out smelling like a rose. You hang around skunks, you'll smell like a skunk. You'll become a skunk. Against lust, against our flesh, we flee. Flee also youthful lust. It's the same thing as, you know, again, I'm being very sarcastic here, but if you're on a diet and somebody offers you a piece of cake, you run. Amen? I know that's very sarcastic. Number three, against Satan, we use fight. We fight him. We fight him. We put our dukes up. We put our dukes up, but in our dukes, in our hands, is the Word of God. This is the sword we use to slay him. Amen? Oh, Goliath had that big old sword. I'm telling you what, this is sharper than any two-edged sword, the Bible says. And it'll slay everything that Satan throws at you if you'll just use it. Just use it. It's got some good stuff in here. I am telling you. It's good. How do I handle temptation? I use the Word of God. Amen? We're constantly bombarded. All of us are. This whole world and our flesh and Satan. Let's fight. Just don't get to the point where you get so discouraged you give up. Well, preacher, I've been trying to overcome pornography for years. I can't get victory over it. When you're weak, he's strong. You come down and you tell him. You say, well, I've told him 10,000 times. Come out and tell the Lord again. Lord, forgive me. He'll forgive you every time. And you get back up off the altar, fight some more. And if you fall again, get the Word of God out, ask for forgiveness, and keep fighting. I'm glad the Lord He never quits forgiving us, amen? Whatever in your life. You say, well, you don't know the circumstance I'm in now. I'm in such a great trial in my life. Maybe it's a job situation. Maybe it's a family situation. Whatever. There's no temptation taking you such as common to man. The devil will make you feel like you're all alone. You're the only one going through that. You come down and you share that with the Lord. He'll take that burden. Take your burden to the Lord and just leave it there. Cast all your care upon Him. He careth for you. Let's continue to fight. Amen. Let's